What was also interesting, two other points they made, was in terms of the number of women with a LVEF drop below 50%, assuming that 50% would be expected to be normal. It was normal in most institutions. It was 17% for the CEF group, and it was 2% for the CMF group. So the question is how much of that is truly meaningful in the long run in terms of symptoms. So if you look at the absolute number of women who develop CHF, grade 3, 4, among the women who had a drop in EF greater than 20%, there were only 4 cases with CHF in the CEF group and no cases in the CMF group, which brings the point of what exactly is the long-term meaning of these drops in ejection fractions if most of them are being asymptomatic. We knew this from the Milan data from a couple of years ago, comparing patients treated with epirubicin at a dose of 300 per meter square versus CMF, that about 8% of these patients would have evidence of diastolic dysfunction in the epirubicin group compared to essentially no patients in the CMF group. And if you think about whether that should or not impact your treatment of these patients, is the question of whether the potential improvement in survival offered by this specific therapy substantially outweigh, at this point for most patients, the asymptomatic changes in cardiac function that may or may not have long-term implications.
Greg?
Well, I think we have to be very careful with the data we just saw. First of all, the second presentation, the one from Shepherd, I find very compelling, and that would be the basis of my recommendations. Ideally, these numbers should be risk-adjusted. I don't think they did that, but you made the point, Antonio, and I think you made it correctly, that your chances of surviving to that point should adjust your actual calculation of risk. And so the numbers could change. The first one, however, I think is very misleading. And I say that because I've looked at lots and lots of CRFs. And evaluated both SAEs and AEs, and I find it fascinating how, given a constellation of symptoms, a physician will assign a cause or attribute it to a cause and will work the patient up. How they go about working the patient up will vary enormously by the background. So when there's cancer there, there's kind of a tendency to always assume that whatever the patient has is related to cancer. If there's a drug there, to always assume it's related to drug. And you say, well, this is just asking whether they have congestive heart failure or not. But you first of all have the question, why are you working the patient up or diagnosing congestive heart failure? Congestive heart failure is not such a straightforward thing. First of all, the patient comes in with shortness of breath, a DOE or whatever it is, and then what steps are you going to take? Oftentimes it may be mild. You may not, in fact, give it a full workup and so on. So I think the first one has real problems with the SEER database for this kind of an analysis and probably distorts the answer seriously. The second one, Shepherd, I think gives us a better estimate of what the actual pattern is.